Now, Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us as the CFL is back tonight. You've got Hamilton and Winnipeg. Of course, the Elks go on Saturday, Shogger. And, of course, all the games will be on TSN once again, 8 o'clock start on Saturday. You'll be working that game. What's your expectations of the Elks? I know you've been digging in a little bit. Have you uncovered anything, or is it still pretty much a mixed bag of uncertainty?
Well, no, I mean, so multiple people now in our chats have said, keep an eye on this Shai Ross. So he was the one, for people who didn't have a chance to see it, or people who didn't know the name, he was the guy in the a few months ago who did the backflip Oreo dunk over,
yes.
That sort of went viral on social media there. And so he's, I believe he's a Manitoba native, I think. But just a ridiculously athletic, skilled. And my understanding is that he has just been getting better from day one of training camp on. He's just a sponge. He soaks it all in, works as hard as anybody. The athleticism, we can all see it. And that he's just one piece of what looks to be a pretty exciting receiving core for the Elks. You know, another weapon potentially for Trevor Harris. So he's one of the guys that I'm really interested in seeing, and he's one of the guys that players on that team are interested in seeing, excited to see in game action. So, I'd say that, you know, I think offensively, I think there's going to be lots there, and it'll be interesting to see just how this aerial attack will connect, because I think there's a lot there for him to work with. I mean, you get, you know, just a couple of real high-end, you know, the top two receivers are just, they're guys that are as you know, in Ellingson and Walker, as good as most guys out there. So I think, if anything, the football fans here will have a fun team to watch.
Fun is maybe what we all want right now when looking at the
last
couple
years.
Yeah, I think that's what they want to see. Now, you know, you talk about this aerial attack, and, you know, they're obviously there's a quarterback pedigree. You talk about the top two receivers, some other players that might be able to step up. But, you know, is there a like, how much risk is associated with having that dominant aerial attack when you really haven't had, you know, a chance to really play together at all in you know, how many, not just months, but a year and a half?
Yeah, that's kind of what we've been asking guys. And, you know, Trevor Harris is pretty open about it. Like, might be a little bumpy early. Might be. I mean, nobody wants it to be, and I don't think anybody expects it to be. But if it is, I think they're kind of prepared for it. Like, you can only control so much. And Strud's like, you've done athletics on a really high level. There's just no way to simulate it unless you actually get a chance to get out there and play games. So when you factor in how long it's been since most of these guys have played a game, then you factor in no exhibition schedule, then you factor in, you know, the idea that they basically had to do their best to kind of simulate contact, but really they haven't had the opportunity to truly do it yet. I'm not sure what to expect. You know, and we chatted with players from both Ottawa and Edmonton today, and I get the feeling that it's kind of the same for them. They're not really sure what to expect, and they're just, I think whoever can adjust to the early bumps might give themselves a good advantage, you know, and not get thrown too far off. If some weird, odd, bad things happen early, not to have that rattle your cage so much that you can't right the ship. And a little bit of early adversity might be something that the Elks face. Sure, I mean, all this talk about Harris and all these receivers and stuff, and you go throw a couple of picks in the first half, and oh boy, right? Who knows? So it's going to be fascinating to see. Which faction of the game does a layoff and no exhibition season benefit? The defense, you would think, because they don't, you know, the offense is the one that's got to, execution-wise, has to be really, really sharp. So does it benefit the defense? I'm not sure. We'll see. I would assume it would benefit the defense a little bit, but, yeah, that's why they play the games.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Shocker, it seems it's just a matter of when Darnell Nurse will sign this extension. You know, 8-year deal coming around, $9 million. You've had a lot of defense. And what's interesting to me, though, people are like, oh, geez, it's $9 million. Yeah, but Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty are still more when the cap hit was lower. Like, guys who can play 25, 28 minutes a night for your team and do it well, you know, for $9 million, that's kind of a good going rate when you look at some of the minutes, some of the numbers that high-end forwards are getting. I actually think if you can get a D-man at 9 mil who plays number one minutes for you and is effective at it, that's actually a pretty good deal.
That's a big bite. And I think Darnell Nurse is great. You know, he's just so fundamental to everything that's happening with this team right now. I'm not suggesting for a second that they don't sign him or that they shouldn't or anything like that, but $9 million, like, whew. So, yep, there are other teams that have done it. There are a few have done it recently. Is it going to need to be that high, do you think? Is it going to have to be $9 million?
No, I think it could come. If it's under, like, 8.8 or 8.9, I could see that as well. But
wow,
I think
he's talking 100 grand. I'm talking, can you get eight and change? Can you get eight and, like, I don't know. That feels like a deal you do when you hit the open market in free agency as one of the top free agents available. Is that the same number that a guy does who's staying with his original organization?
Well, yeah, guys, just like for a guy who's giving up all UFA years, like Cale Makar gave up all RFA years and got $9 million, right? So, you know, you look, Seth Jones just got it at $9.5 million. I think that's kind of going to be the going rate, especially, you know, when you look at defensemen around the NHL. Like, keep in mind that when Hedman signed his deal, if you look at percentage of cap, at 7.8, right? Like, Subban was $9 million many years ago, right? Dougie Hamilton's $9 million. Petrangelo's $8.8 million, and he was, you know, he was 30. Like, the thing about Nurse is, he'll be 27 when that contract kicks in, right? So it ends when he's 34, even at 8 years. It's not where you're signing a guy at 30 and you got him till 37.
Yeah, and he's just such a freak athletically. I mean, he takes such good care of his body. He's in such good shape. He's so athletic, and I don't think that's going anywhere. You know, he's durable. I mean, all the things that would scare you off of that type of deal for other defensemen, you probably look at him and you don't really need to worry about it. I mean, the only thing is, a contract like that, he's going to have as good or better a year as he had this year for the next 4, 5, 6 years for that deal to make sense. You know, and this, so what was this last season? Was it the true evolution of Darnell Nurse, and that is now what he is and will be every year moving forward? Or did he have just a fantastic, unbelievable year in a contract year? And what we will see from him is more the Darnell Nurse, say, not so much of last year, but the previous 2 or 3 years, where still excellent defenseman, but, you know, I mean, you're mentioning guys like Hedman. I mean, this guy's a perennial Norris candidate and has been for a while. You're mentioning, you know, some pretty high-end guys. And so, yeah, if they're going to pay Nurse this money, you know, he's going to need to be that guy that he was this last year every year. So 15 even strength goals for Darnell Nurse. I mean, same number as Leon Draisaitl, for goodness sakes. Is he going to be doing that every year moving forward, or is he going to be producing that kind of offense moving forward? And I think there's risk there with putting him in the same category as the absolute elite defenseman in the league and paying him as such, because he's got 1 year where he's truly shown it. But it happened to be a contract year. So,
well, yeah, if you actually look at Nurse's last few seasons, man, like, look at Darnell Nurse's last 3 years at 5-on-5.
Yep.
He's right up there. So it's this year it went to a new level. But he's been very productive at 5-on-5. And that to me is very important for a defenseman, because
he
doesn't.
This year it went to a $9 million level. Right?
Yeah.
Had he just continued with what he was before this last year, we wouldn't be talking about $9 million.
Okay, but let's look at guys. Jacob Trouba makes $8 million. Ekman Larson makes $8.25, right? Like, mm-hmm. P.K. Subban makes $9 million. Like, people say, well, guys are like, oh, you're comparing him to Hedman. I'm not comparing him to Hedman, but these are the facts. Like, if you only want to look at the guys that are better than him and say, oh, he's not there, well, there's guys worse than him that are right close. So that's kind of how the market goes. It's not just a comparable to say, oh, let's find the best contract value and say, oh, well, Darnell Nurse shouldn't be more than that. That's not how negotiations work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's interesting, you know, and I think the Oilers will probably they'll just do what they need to do here to get it done. You know, there's a part of me that wonders what kind of year he's about to have, and if he could push the same sort of numbers this year as he did last year, And, you know, you've got Tyson Berry, you've got Evan Bouchard. They're going to play in a little bit more offensive situations. Bouchard will more this year. I just wonder what his year will look like compared to last year. And if the number is something that they're not comfortable with, can you pause and wait? And what does that look like? I mean, you got to be careful with the player. He's been a good Oiler for a long time. He's been underpaid. And this is the price you pay when you throw two bridge deals at a guy. You know, when people around him are getting the long-term deals, right? He watched as guys around him got long-term deals and were made part of the plan, and so he took his bridge deals and he played well and he outplayed them. And so he might not be in a mood to say, hey, you know, I want to be here and I want to win, and so I'm willing to do this, do the same thing that McDavid did. Right? Darnell Nurse, I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I don't know the answer to this, but what headspace is he in? Is he taking a little bit of a hometown deal here to try and help the team win, or does he go, nope, the hometown deal for the team was the last two contracts I did. They wanted to bridge me twice. Now I am where I am, and I'm getting full market value. I wouldn't blame him if he felt that way.
Talk with Ryan O'Shaug, breaking down the Edmonton Oilers and all things NHL. He's from TSN. Shauger, you know, you kind of stole my question a little bit, but, you know, those bridge deals with Darnell, and I you know, you understand at the time you're trying to, you know, save a few dollars for your cap. But do you think it maybe gives them pause when you look at what potentially could be coming up after a good season for Jesse Puljujärvi this year?
Yeah, I mean, you just wish you had a bigger body of evidence to be able to confidently dive into a 4 or 5 year deal, right? Just wish you had a bigger sample of play where he was just real solid. He was good last year. He came in, he did a great job. You know, the organization did a great job embracing him. And he did a great job of taking care of his end of things. And he was just really good for them last year. So, you know, to commit long term, I don't know if the games are there, if the high end games are there. You know, he had 15 goals and that was really good. And I think he'll be able to continue playing on that pace. I guess it just depends on the kind of money you're talking about, Stretty. Like, have you seen enough of Puljujärvi to say, okay, yes, he is going to be this, and that is worth this, and now you're doing a deal that's way more than what the bridge deals would be?
Well, they're going to run into some tough times with cap at some point here. I mean, you're going to look at Darnell, and we're going to talk. Let's just say it's $3 million more, and I know it's going to be more, but let's just say that's that number. Yes, Mikko's number's coming off, but you're going to have to replace Mikko with someone. Mm-hmm. Then after that, where does the room come? Where does that wiggle room come? Do you have to move Cassian out? Like, I'm looking at their cap, and I don't see where all the wiggle room's going to happen. So, you know, it's funny. Like, this, I've been saying this to friends lately. It feels like the Oilers, when you look at their draft picks that they've missed last year and this year through trades, and where they are cap-wise, in a lot of ways, it feels like a team that's had a good run through a deep playoff runs, and they're not. They're at the front of it. But to be fair, they're not unlike the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs are in the same position. So I'm really interested to see how they kind of do this next year. Like, okay, well, Kyle Turris will come off. Okay, that's 1.65, but you got to replace him with probably a $1 million player, right?
Yeah.
You know, Josh Archibald, 1.5. Do you bring him back? Does he get a bump? Does he get less? Like, I don't know where the money's going to come from, because now a lot
Nico
of those guys
Koskinen.
You talking. Well, yeah, but Koskinen comes off, and we can redirect that money right into the pockets of Darnell Nurse, right?
Yeah.
So, or to a replacement. You know, if you're going to get anything that's a replacement, you know, it is an upgrade on Mike Smith, you're probably going to be around the same ballpark, aren't you, Greg? So maybe $3 to $5 million, somewhere in there?
Yeah,
potentially. Yeah, no, the Oilers, yeah, they'll be in a little bit of a cap dance. But the funny thing is, next year, guys, like, there was basically 84 extra million free dollars this year in free agency that won't be there next year. And that's where it's going to tighten all around the NHL. Like, I think free agents went for it this year because next year it's just not going to be there.
How about Tatar's deal? Like,
yeah, short-term
it took
deal.
A little bit, but man, he got a good chunk of change.
Yeah, well, he's 22nd like, most 5-on-5 points in the NHL over 3 years.
But for a guy who hasn't been in either of the last two playoff years, he's basically been a regular season performer. Like, he got free agent money from 2 years ago, not from these last 2 years. But good for him, good on him, and he's a good regular season player.
Well, keep in mind, look at the team that signed him, a team that had a ton of cap space.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So
yeah,
that,
exactly.
They can afford it. It's a two-year deal. They don't have a lot of contracts up that are worth much. So, they got Subban coming off at the end of the season. So, for them, it's kind of easy. Shonger, have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Take care.